Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Good morning, Andrea Bernstein in for Brian Lehrer. Issue 10 in our 30 issues in 30 days on today's has been all development issues in New York, and today's the World Trade Center site. What is happening on the site and in Lower Manhattan in the so-called Greenwich South area? We'll be talking about that in just a little bit. But first, Charles Bagley, New York Times reporter, who's been covering this since the get-go, is going to talk to us about what the Bloomberg administration has done on the site and what it would do in the next 4 years, and also what a World Trade Center site development program under a Mayor Thompson would look like. Thanks so much, Charles Bagley, for joining us this morning.
Good morning, Andrea. How you doing?
So let's take a walk down memory lane. Right after the September 11th attacks, but if I remember correctly, after the election, the Lower Manhattan Development Corporation was set up with appointees by then-Mayor Giuliani and then-Governor George Pataki. Bloomberg did not get any appointees. Tell us about that and what kind of dynamic it set up.
Well, actually, I think initially the Pataki administration wanted to set up a corporation that would have been led by the state completely. It would have had the head of the MTA, the head of the Economic Development Corporation, and perhaps a couple of other people. But because of a public clamor, they tried to broaden that. And I think when it was established, the thought was that maybe Mark Green or someone else was going to be mayor, and they filled the board with mainly Pataki people, but also a couple of Giuliani people. Later, the board became 50-50 between the mayor and the governor. The mayor doesn't have a direct connection to the site, since it's owned by the Port Authority. There's a private developer. There's the MTA that has the transportation facilities there, and LMDC, which is a subsidiary of a state corporation. But he has used the bully pulpit from time to time to engage on what should or shouldn't be going on downtown.
Now, the Bloomberg's first deputy mayor for economic development and rebuilding was Dan Doctoroff, who was at the same time trying to bring the Olympics to New York City and to get a stadium built on the west side of Manhattan and a number of other projects underway, very ambitious rezonings, at the same time that he was in charge of overseeing the rebuilding of the World Trade Center site. There was some criticism that sort of divided his attention. What do you think happened?
Well, there's definitely been some stages to this as to what the mayor's or the Bloomberg administration wants to do downtown. From the very beginning, they wanted to get control of the site. And Deputy Mayor Doctoroff even proposed a land swap.
Oh, the airport swap. Oh, I forgot all about that. Remind listeners what that was about.
Okay. The city was saying, hey, Port Authority, give us the World Trade Center site, Ground Zero, and we'll give you all the land underneath LaGuardia and Kennedy airports. So they were willing to trade, I think it was several thousand acres, for this 16 acres downtown. That didn't really get much of a reception from the Pataki administration, and the talks fizzled. They also wanted to get, that would have also allowed them to get rid of Silverstein, the developer who had leased the site from the Port Authority only 6 weeks before the Trade Center was destroyed. But that was their posture in the beginning. The mayor gave a brilliant speech, a very well-received speech, in December of 2002, where he talked about how Lower Manhattan should be rebuilt. One of the points he made was we shouldn't rush ahead and build 10 million square feet of office space. So that would be repeating the mistake of the original Trade Center, where they built the two towers, which was 10 million square feet, and then couldn't fill them. And they sat on the market for years and years. Ironically, it wasn't until, say, a year or 2 years before the Trade Center was destroyed that it was actually a success, that the mall was one of the highest cash-generating malls in the country, and the office space was filled up. But it took almost 20 years to do it. So he was talking about a much more slow and phased approach. He's abandoned that position recently. The next stage was long about 2004, as the Olympic bid was heating up. They made they had a tacit agreement with the Pataki administration, where the city would take the lead on the west side of Manhattan, where they wanted to build a stadium and expand the Javits Convention Center and rezone for high-rise office and residential construction. And the governor, in turn, would get to take the lead downtown at the Trade Center. And that lasted for 2 years through to the beginning of 2006, when the Bloomberg administration again came back to Lower Manhattan with some ideas about what could happen. And in early 2006, they had a secret report that concluded that the developer, Mr. Silverstein, could build one building, walk away with hundreds of millions of dollars, and leave the site unfinished. And they raised quite a ruckus about this. This report was written by an executive at a now-defunct investment bank, and that executive is now the deputy mayor, Bob Lieber, in a bit of irony. But again, he's changed his position.
So, by the way, we have this breaking news from Copenhagen, which is Chicago has been eliminated from the 2016 Olympic bid, and so has Tokyo. Rio and Madrid are the two remaining candidates for the 2016 Olympics. So I guess we will be hearing fairly soon how the next votes go. But back to the World Trade Center. So there have been these different articulations of positions, and it's interesting because it does seem that if you sort of look at public policy, you know, that 2002 speech, maybe we don't need all this office space, you know, then the sort of later the secret report you were talking about, you know, again, sort of trying to roll back. If you look back over the last 7 3/4 years, what do you think is the biggest influence that the Bloomberg administration has had on the World Trade Center site?
That's hard to say, because their positions have changed from time to time, sort of with the flow. The mayor in the last 6 months has tried to intervene, this time on behalf of Mr. Silverstein. He's wanted to get this office space built as quickly as possible. There's a practical problem in that Mr. Silverstein is unable to go out and get the financing. You know, private developers are abandoning their office projects now because they don't have tenants and they don't have and they can't get the financing. So, but Mr. Silverstein and the Bloomberg administration feel that the office space should be completed, and therefore the Port Authority should put up the money to make that happen. This was never the intention, not in 2002, not in 2004, not in 2008. This is a new concept.
It's so fascinating as I hear you describe it. It almost sounds like they've had lots of victories over their better judgment over the years.
Well, you know, to be fair, the mayor hasn't really had a seat at the table. What he's tried to do is use his bully pulpit to affect things. He did get half the board members of LMDC, but it was an entity that was controlled by the state.
Yeah, but nevertheless, I mean, you say he could use his bully pulpit, but it seems that, you know, sort of his initial instinct was to say, like, whoa, let's pull back. Let's ask ourselves, do we need all this development in downtown lower Manhattan? That was a question that sort of came up again with the, economic crash a year ago. And I've heard Chris Ward articulate that question, the head of the Port Authority, do we need all this office space in Lower Manhattan? And yet he is now using his bully pulpit to argue precisely the opposite.
Well, let me make a distinction. It's one thing to say, do we need any office space? And I think there's a finer vision. You could say, look, we'll always need a place to build new office buildings in a business district. That's the way the district renews itself. The question is, how fast do you build that? And, you know, here we're talking about building three office towers plus what is now known as One World Trade Center, formerly the Freedom Tower. So you're talking about almost 9 million square feet of office space almost simultaneously. I mean, they would phase in, but that's a lot more space than has ever come online downtown at one time. And the question is whether if you did that all at once, you'd be creating some white elephants rather than taking a more phased approach. It's not one or the other, you know, office or non-office.
Right, right. But,
lot of the landlords downtown used to think, perhaps unfairly, that the Bloomberg administration opposed new office downtown and was pushing residential almost exclusively. I think they were looking for a more balanced approach.
And yet, if I'm hearing you right, it's saying that they've moved more towards the position of let's building more office space faster.
Yes, at least in this pre-election period.
Now, if the mayor were to be reelected, he would be mayor on the 10th anniversary of 9/11. What would the site look like on that date?
Well, I think that you would see the memorial. A good part of the memorial would be completed. It wouldn't be completely finished, but you would recognize it as a memorial. I think that the One World Trade Center, I'm not sure whether it would top off or not, but it would be also taking form. I mean, it's starting to poke above the ground now. Certainly it should be up pretty high soon, or I mean by 2011. There is a question of will Greenwich Street be in? I mean, to make any of the office buildings work, Greenwich Street has got to be in.
And we'll be talking about Greenwich Street in just a moment.
Okay. And then there's the Transit Center. Which has been very controversial because, in part, it's not so much the how it looks. Some people like the way it looks, the birdcage kind of effect, but it's extraordinarily expensive structure. It'll probably come in at $3 or $4 billion, yet. It's only going to serve perhaps 60,000 people a day. We have the most crowded transit center in the country up at Penn Station, and that serves about 550,000 a day.
Let's now we haven't talked at all about Bill Thompson. Let's listen to a little clip of Bill Thompson talking about the World Trade Center.
I've been disappointed in his failure to move forward there. I think it is important, and it was important from day one, that we make a statement that New York City will never back down. And I think that the fact that we haven't done something at ground zero and that the mayor hasn't been more vocal and more involved and assumed greater leadership, I think that's a failure.
Now, where has Bill Thompson been in the past, 7 3/4 years? And if he were elected, what would be different?
First of all, that might be the first time I've heard Mr. Thompson talk about Ground Zero in the past number of years. I mean, everybody wants things built, and everybody's disappointed at the pace of construction. If Thompson was elected, how much could he affect that? I'm not sure that there's a lot he could do. Again, this is a site that's controlled by the Port Authority. It's an enormously complex site, to be fair, to the people down there. You have to build a bathtub around the place to keep out the Hudson River. You had people who, the families of the victims that were killed there, who wanted a memorial. They thought the whole site was sacred land. Then you had residents downtown who felt that they didn't want to walk home every night past the cemetery. You had people that said build faster. You had people that were saying they're building too fast and they're jeopardizing our health. You had the people that wanted residential, the people that wanted great architecture. I mean, there were so many forces at work here. And I don't think there's any place like it.
Given what you're saying about that, the major role for the mayor of New York City in Port Authority development, redevelopment, is using effectively his bully pulpit, any sense of how Thompson would do on that front?
Well, like I said, I haven't heard him talk about it, so I'm not sure. And I think that the plans in terms of what's going to happen are more or less set in stone. What might be interesting is what happens in the current struggle between the Port Authority and Larry Silverstein, the developer. They're currently in arbitration, and that'll probably drag on for a while. But what happens when that's completed? Yeah, Mr. Silverstein, on the one hand, could win and get some money, but would the Port Authority then move to eliminate him from the site because he wasn't able to build the towers on schedule? Or would they buy him out or whatever? I suppose that whoever is mayor could play a role in determining the answers to those questions.
All right. Well, we're going to have to end it there. Thanks so much, Charles Bagley, reporter for The New York Times, for joining us on the World Trade Center. When we come back, we'll speak to Liz Berger. She's the president of the Downtown Alliance, about the area right to the south of the World Trade Center and what's going to happen there.